This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. Wanted to follow up on a recent interview we had with Sarah Wickersham of Douglas Cares and talk about some of the things going on as they get ready to move. Sarah, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
And I guess, first of all, just there's always somebody new to this. Remind folks what Cares does.
Douglas Cares is a very specialized agency. It's on the side of the investigation for child abuse and neglect. So child welfare or the police call us in when they think something's happened to a kiddo. And inside our building, they can receive services such as a forensic medical exam or a forensic interview. And then we care for them throughout the whole process of going to court and then long term to care for their mental health as they heal.
So, as you talked about last time, you're getting ready to move. Well, anybody who's moved just their house knows how much work that is. How about moving an organization and a bunch of employees and some specialized things? This has been probably quite an experience for you.
Oh, my goodness. This has been more than I bargained for sure. The building project started about a year and a half ago with Guy Kennerly, who approached us and said, I'm building this building. Would you like me to build it to suit and arrange a lease? And starting back then, we were able to design it and make it really specialized to the kind of work that we do. And it's just been moving ever since. Now we're at the final stages. We're supposed to be moving in the first week of December, and boy, there's a lot to put together.
Well, and just in time for the holiday season.
Yes, we're hoping to have our first Christmas party there in December.
So a lot to get ready for this. And what's the difference in size between the building you've been in and where you're going to be?
So it's only actually about 1,000 square feet bigger. But the building that we are coming from was a remodeled cancer center, and it has a bunch of space that's not really usable for our purposes. So it's going to feel like we doubled in size when we move into the new building that's all usable and specifically designed for us.
And talk about, in this process, the ways people in the community can help.
So we are coming up on the final stages. We're going to need some new furniture as we move into our new spaces. Our conference room is significantly larger than our current conference room, and we need to replace that furniture. We have some sponsorship opportunities for community members if they're interested. One of the ways that you can support us is to sponsor a whole room, and those range in price from $1,000 to $5,000. And that way you could provide all of the furniture for a space that a child is gonna use and feel comfortable in, and be able to have toys to play with and furniture that's just sized for them so they can sit on. And if you want more information about that, you can see our website or our Facebook page. Or just give us a call and we'll give you the details.
So what you need there really is the financial piece. You guys have already figured out what you need. You don't need people just bringing random stuff.
That's right. Yes. Because we want everything to kind of coordinate with everything else, we would prefer to have a financial donation so that we can pick out the furniture that that will fit.
Everything coordinating with everything else. That's just a magical concept. That's what we want to do with our next house, because nothing matches anything else right now. So I know what that's like.
It is a magical concept in the nonprofit world, where we get a lot of donations or secondhand pieces and things like that.
Yeah, because you've had all these different things that you've just acquired over time.
Yes.
But when you really take a couple steps back and say, okay, we're going to be in this building that's a lot better, it's a lot more suited, then let's walk in and make it very professional and do what you need to do.
Yes. Yeah.
So if people want to get involved in that, what's your timeline for getting financial donations?
So we are planning, we're hoping to get all the money collected by mid-January. We want to have everything put together and ready to show off at our grand opening and tour on February 7th. So, sorry.
So February 7th is what you're kind of shooting for there, but you'll already be in there before that.
Yes, we're going to be moving in the first week of December, and then we have some of our pieces already, and then we don't anticipate actually making purchases of new furniture until January. So that's kind of our timeline for bringing in those donations and sponsorships.
And what happens once you get settled in there? I mean, this is going to be quite an experience, I suspect.
We're excited that we've got traffic flow figured out, so that we've got our mental health side of the agency and our forensic side of the agency. We have special entrances for staff and places for our law enforcement partners to be during the process of our services there. And we've got a mat room. We are working on building a playground on the outside so that we can, we'd like to be able to provide services outside as well in little areas so that conversations can be kept private. That's quite an upgrade.
So, again, you've got this on your website, right?
Yes.
All right, very good. Mm-hmm. So what else is ahead for CARES? I heard that you want to start something new in January.
That's right. We are we're starting an integrated co-occurring disorders program, or ICOD for short. That is very specific to children who have experienced abuse and neglect and have turned to substances to help them cope. So these are our teens who are using marijuana to make them feel a little bit better about what happened to them, maybe branching into harder drugs. We're open to kids at most levels. We can't do the inpatient treatment, but we can care for somebody up to that need and after as they're transitioning back into the community.
So did you have to find a new funding source for this?
We are just about to start on our second year of a multi-year mental health expansion that was funded by the Ford Family Foundation. So the first year was our Family Tree program, what I was able to come and speak about here, and the second year is the co-occurring disorders program that we're about to launch.
And is this pretty much an increasing problem with teens right now?
Yeah, substance abuse rates among teens, especially the more beginning style drugs like vaping and marijuana, there's a huge increase in kids smoking, vaping, using marijuana. Edibles are widely available on the market, and teens just have access to these things.
Well, I know I heard one of our national programs over the weekend talking about, and this was for adults, but just how much substance abuse is up after the pandemic.
Yes, and we see those numbers on the rise too. We test little children, their hair and their urine, for drug exposure, and that helps the system determine if the kids are in safe living environments. And we find things like fentanyl and marijuana and methamphetamines in children's systems. So it's up for adults, it's up for teens, and ultimate impact is that our kids are suffering.
So is this going to be a sort of a counseling program, or is it going to be kind of more the mental health side or the substance use side, or more, both?
So integrated co-occurring is a special process programming where a youth is treated for all things simultaneously. So one therapist can take care of their substance use concerns and their mental health needs. We'll have a medical provider on staff who can do medication-assisted treatment as necessary. We don't know how big a problem that is going to be at this point, because most of the teens that we have in our program wouldn't be needing medication-assisted treatment. So that's like Suboxone and those other kinds of medicine-based therapies where a child has to have some kind of replacement as they're coming off of a heavier drug.
All right, Sarah Wickersham with us from Douglas Cares. We're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 tomorrow. Going to get an update on Wildlife Safari. They've got some special things coming up here as we get through the holiday season and the balance of the year, and some special things happening with animals out there right now as well. Sarah Wickersham with us from Douglas Cares. They are getting ready to move. And Sarah, let's maybe run through some of the specifics. We talked a little bit about some of the sponsorship opportunities, different levels, different things that people can do, because you really need to get kind of all of these slots filled to really stay on your timeline, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. So let's start with the lobby. One of the things that's unique about our new building is the lobby is a little bit smaller. We have we currently have some big comfy couches in our lobby, and they just won't fit. So one of the sponsorship opportunities is to help us provide the furniture in the lobby, and we need smaller pieces that are able to kind of sit into corners a little bit better. That opportunity is a $4,000 opportunity, so that one's a little bit on the pricier side. We have 15 therapy offices, we don't have 15 therapists, but we do therapy, skills training, case management. Everybody's got an office in the mental health wing. So we're looking to create a warm, welcoming space for a child to sit. They can have games in there that are therapeutic games, artwork on the walls that helps them, you know, create language for the kinds of things that they're experiencing. Those rooms are a little bit less expensive. They're more like a $1,000 sponsorship on that one. One of the big things that we're looking to help with as quickly as possible is the family conference room. So we have two family conference rooms in the forensic side of the building, and that's where the child who's been hurt and the parent who didn't hurt them, or a caregiver who didn't hurt them, stay during the time that they're with CARES. And for one child in a family, that's typically like a 3-hour visit. If we are caring for a family with four children, sometimes they're there in that room for an entire day. We feed them lunch, but that room, that space is really, really important. To be able to care for parents who are grieving, often shocked. They don't know how this could have happened to their child, and they need those comfort spaces. Comfortable furniture, blankets if they get cold. We put stuffed animals and family games and things in there. And again, calming, welcoming artwork. We decided that about $2,000 per room, and we've got two of those, would be really helpful for us to be able to make that space just exactly the way we envision it. And then the bigger room, the conference room, is kind of on the pricier side, because we do need to replace all of our conference furniture. One of the things we're planning for that room is to make it a training center, so that we can bring in community partners and families if that becomes the right choice. I mean, if we have enough families to fill up that big space, we have a smaller family room that we can put families in for training. But we've been able to bring trainings to our community. Like last year, we brought in Corey Jensen, who was able to help train our first responders in how to recognize a sex abuser and how to respond to that, and also help people understand, you know, whether or not what that experience looks like for the person who's offending. Like, how do they get to be the way they are? So that was a really impactful training, and we borrowed space for that. So we're excited to kind of bring that space, those trainings like that, in-house and invite our community to it. And if we have our own space, that means that we can offer it at a lower price to our community members.
So a lot of opportunities there. Are there more we haven't got to?
Yeah, some of those come with pretty big price tags, and we understand that that's not for everybody. Our Heartfelt Heroes campaign allows for sponsorships as low as $50 to $500, and those will earn you the logo placement on our website and our promotional material. We'll advertise for you, and we have a special piece of artwork that we're commissioning for the lobby that will showcase all of the people who came together to help us make this a reality.
So you've got a lot of work to do in a short amount of time, though.
Yes, that's right.
And this is the time of year, and we're kind of just at the beginning stages of it, where a lot of folks are out there with, you know, people think about year end giving opportunities, and people that maybe are in good positions in life look around and say, okay, where could we do something in this year, and you're right here at the perfect spot for this.
Yes, for all of those of you who are looking for a place to give this year, Douglas Cares is in a really special place to be able to accept those donations and help share gratitude with you to our whole community.
What do you think when you get into this, once you're, you know, the dust settles and everything's moved in, how much better are you going to be able to do your jobs there in a nicer atmosphere?
It will revolutionize the way that we're able to care for kids and families. We will have a safer and healthier building designed for the kinds of services we do. Now, that means that we have one medical clinic and a forensic interview space and family conference rooms. And these spaces are not used in the public. So in our perfectly designed space for us, we can manage to see kids. We can pull traffic through so that we can see more kids and provide better services for the kids that we care for. Our current team of five therapists sees about 100 to 125 children annually, and when we are able to, I mean, concurrently, and when we're able to open up more spaces and have more therapy offices, then we can pull the 75 plus kids off of our wait list and get them into services as well.
So a lot of opportunity there, but this has got to be a very busy time for you.
Yes, this is a very busy time, and you know, the holidays are already a busy time. they're busy in this field because they tend to be a time when parents are very stressed, so there are more children who need our services, and then there's fewer hours in which to complete the services because of holiday closures and people taking vacations, which they absolutely should do because this is hard work, but it kind of compounds things near the end of the year and makes the work a little more challenging, but also a little more rewarding.
And this kind of work also isn't always an 8-to-5 situation. I'm sure you guys get phone calls at 2 a.m. and just about any weekend you could think of.
Yep, any time of the day or night. I think every law enforcement official in Douglas County has my personal cell phone. And yes, we are on call for services all night, all weekend, over the holidays, and we do regularly come in for kids and families who need us during those times.
Because at that point, if a situation has happened, mm-hmm. you've got to deal with it then. You can't just say, okay, come back on Monday at 9.
Right. A lot of the types of services we provide are really time sensitive. So the medical exams, particularly for sex abuse, that evidence has to be collected as quickly as possible after the incident so that we can actually collect things like DNA evidence, and children aren't allowed to shower before we could do our exam. So we have in the new building, we built in a connected shower to the clinic so that a child can shower immediately after their exam, and we have clothing there for them to change into and go home in. But yeah, those exams need to be done as quickly as possible. We don't want to wait more than an hour, and that's just to get the team together. Other exams for physical injuries need to be done within 48 hours of the time that the investigator puts eyes on the injury. And so again, sometimes a weekend is too long to wait.
And we're out of time for now. Again, give folks the website. They can check out all these opportunities to help.
www.douglascares.org, and check us out on Facebook at Douglas Cares.
All right. Sarah Wickersham, Executive Director, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.